Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Your home is important. That's why GEICO helps make it easy to save on condo insurance. Because home is more than just a place. Home is where you took minimalism too far because there's only one chair in your entire condo and your only entertainment is one card. Not even a deck of cards, but a single card. And all your guests have to share one plate and one fork, but you're convinced that less stuff means more freedom. The GEICO Insurance Agency could help protect the overly minimalist broom closet you call home. Call GEICO and see how easy it is to switch and save on condo insurance.
Welcome back to Satan's Pantry, where we take a walk down the devil's... Take a walk down the devil's... Okay.
Keep that. Roll on, motherfucker.
Yeah, roll on. 10 seconds.
Destroyed because of this freak. I won't allow it. These babies just saved this lame death party.
Let's consider the secret life of the innermost nesting doll. Living most of her life in the dark, inside the other nesting dolls, she has plenty of time to think, if she could. Sadly, she has no brain. However, when an innermost nesting doll hears that GEICO not only saves people money, but also has been providing great service for over 75 years, she thinks it's obvious you should switch. Because yes, switching to GEICO is a no-brainer. Pity the innermost nesting doll and her lot in life.
Hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to Twig, the flagship of stupidity. I am one of your hosts this week. That's right, I got all three of them here this week, including myself, because I'm talking in the third person. I am Mike the Birdman Dodd. I am joined on my right by...
Alex. And Mr. Christopher.
That's right, guys. So hopefully you're having yourselves a fantastic long weekend, be it in the United States, Canada, or anywhere around the world. A lot of big pop culture things are going on this weekend. If you happen to be local to Toronto, one of the second largest con, I think, in North America, Toronto Fan Expo is going on right now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm actually surprised it's bigger than New York City Comic Con.
And just this past week, local to Kitchener, we had Gankfest.
Oh God!
It was attended by one.
Stay
but there
tuned
many
to the
people.
End, folks. Believe me.
And if you're living in the United States, a huge convention happening in Atlanta this weekend, Dragon Con.
That's right.
Which is cosplay, role players, all sorts of neat people go out there. I know Mark Meer, who's a friend of the show, just helped co-host the Dragon Con cosplay parade, which is pretty cool, and some fantastic costumes you always see there. I know one of the more interesting ones that I saw on Facebook was it was Super Mario Brothers, if they existed in Fallout. So,
oh, that'd be depressing.
It was really cool. They had, like, power armor, partially. Luigi had, like, scavenger raider armor
and
on.
And are they, like, actually doing magic mushroom? Is that what it is?
Probably.
And, like, magic mushroom and amphetamines?
It's a very immersive experience.
Much like in Fallout, you can do drugs. So yeah, I thought that was interesting. As you've seen on the show this week, we've had a Turd or Treasure, where Alex
Indeed.
Broke down some of the things you should be spending your money on or not spending your money on. We had a Power Ranger special with special in-studio guest Cliva McVicker. I was going to call him McIver again, but whatever the fuck that I called him in the other episode.
Yeah, it's not that he has a difficult name, it's just a unique name.
Yeah. I've never heard of anybody named Cliva before.
Most of the times, dudes would just go by Clive.
Yeah.
Or Sea Dog. Or well, why doesn't he go by C-Mac?
That's good. That, you know what? That's going to be his new unofficial Twig nickname, C-Mac. So we had him talking about Power Rangers this week. Actually, after the show, before he left to go home to Boston and the Fan Expo, he actually gave me a really cool gift. He gave me a Power Rangers Legacy Red Tommy Zio figure.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I know it was one of the more sought-after figures, which is pretty neat. And actually, as a follow-up to that episode, somebody came through for me in the clutch. I mentioned during the episode I'm never going to own a Lord Draken, which was the Power Morphicon exclusive Bandai figure. It's going for ridiculously huge amounts of money. I got one.
Really?
Yeah. And you'll never guess who is getting it for me.
Ronald McDonald?
Linkara.
Close.
Oh.
Yeah.
So somebody who would have a good degree of chance to get one or two.
Yeah, because he was at Power Morphicon, and he messaged me the other day. He's like, hey, Mike, I have an extra Lord Draken. Do you want it?
Well, that's cool, Lewis.
Yeah, so thank you so much, Lewis. Yeah, we should hopefully have pictures of that in studio in just a few weeks when it arrives. I already have a place picked out on my Power Rangers display for him. So that's so cool.
You
and I never thought I'd ever own that.
You got to get him on the podcast because, I mean, I know he's done some tabletop games, I believe.
Yeah, they just did North and South of the Blood Wall. Actually,
but
Tiffany
maybe
was on that, too.
I was going to say, maybe get him, do a little interview with him, check out what he's doing.
Yeah, because it has definitely been a while, and Lewis was always a big contributor to the Com Bravo stuff that we've done over the years with my Marvel Cinematic Universe panels, which never ever did get posted online. I really should have, because I've worked with him. I worked with Andre, the Black Nerd of Power Rangers Hyperforce and Black Nerd Comedy. We did a Ninja Turtles panel about 3 years ago, last time I was at Con Bravo. So, good times. I'm actually in a fairly positive mood today. Good mood. Good vibes today. Good vibes after we talked about Gankfest.
That put me in a good vibe.
That was the worst inside story. I never want to be a part of it again.
No, I have way worse ones than that.
Does it surprise you, though, Trusted, in the
no,
very least?
No, not at all.
Well, by worst, I mean best, but
You hang around Alex long enough, and you just realize there is no limit to how dark this guy will go.
You have to take a deep breath before you start talking to him. Just, okay, what's up?
I'm bright, happy, and full of man milk. Well, not anymore.
What was it, that thing we used to joke about that I like?
I let me likey the man milk?
I forgot about that. I likey the man milk. And oh, God, this has gone down a horrible, horrible
fish hour. Market's open.
Oh, God.
Good Lord.
Coming up on the show this week, we got some cool stuff. We actually have two role-playing game reviews this week. We're going to be looking at Starfinder, which came to us from Paizo Publishing.
With a bunch of books, actually.
Yeah, so Alex has an extended review with that. We're going to have my review slash impressions of White Wolf's new edition of Vampire the Masquerade, and I'm not looking at the controversy, but I'll talk about that in our first segment today. We're also going to talk about the big elephant in the room in the video game community, that was the shooting in Jacksonville, which happened at a Madden tournament last weekend. We're also going to talk about a little bit of politics, only because it involves technology. That should be an interesting discussion, especially considering Alex's background with tech.
Yep.
We're also going to talk about
Fuck Dolls.
Fuck Dolls, the astronauts doing a rather unorthodox solution. Plugging their holes. My God, this is one of those shows.
It's a long weekend show, people. This is what you're going to get.
Exactly.
And we haven't even begun to drink.
So anyway, guys, we will be back right here on Twig, the flagship of stupidity. Join us as we take a look at my first element, and that's our review of Vampire the Masquerade from White Wolf Publishing.
The thing about living in Santa Carla I never could stomach, all the damn vampires.
We are looking at Vampire the Masquerade, coming to us from White Wolf Publishing, and this is one of those games that has received a brand new edition, and this is the fifth edition of the game, if I'm not mistaken, which updates the rules from the 20th anniversary edition, which came out a while back. And, well, it's time to dive back into the world of darkness with vampires and werewolves and all sorts of other creatures of the night. And, well, we're primarily going to be focusing on the Cainites today. That's right. We're going to be talking about vampires. Now, disclaimer here, I have not had a chance to play this particular version of the game, but I will be talking about some of the changes that have been made to the game's meta plot and some of the mechanics that I do like that have been made so far. So that being said, let's kind of jump right into this. So the last time I played a Vampire the Masquerade game would have been in the early 2000s when the Time of Judgment was going on, and that's where basically the old World of Darkness was going through a huge upheaval where they had Diana, which was this basically the vampire apocalypse was happening. The Antediluvians, I think that's how you pronounce it, were supposed to wake up and kill their clans, basically going down the line, going through the Malkavians, the Tremere, the Ventru, even the Sabbat was supposed to get involved in some capacity. And basically it was going to be a vampire shit show. And because this continues the old World of Darkness meta plot, as far as I know, I didn't follow the new World of Darkness, so I don't know anything about the Ordo Dracul or anything like that. But basically, it says Guiana has kind of come and gone, or if it did happen, it's still happening in the shadows. There's the Guiana War happening somewhere, potentially even in the Middle East. Now, with Vampire the Masquerade 5th edition, or this current edition, it talks about it and kind of doesn't talk about it. It says something has happened, but it really doesn't go into any great detail. Now, there's supposedly a book that details a lot more of what's happened, but I don't have that, or at least I don't have access to it as of this particular review. It's called Somebody's Jihad Diary, I think. But in the main book, they do talk about how the Masquerade has somewhat been breached. And what do I mean by that? Now, there is the new omnipresent threat known as the Second Inquisition. Basically, the government knows that vampires exist. There's 100% certainty they know. You're now what's known as a blank body. Basically, if you were to show up on a thermal scope, there's no heat signature, yet your body's moving around. So that ain't normal. Plus, they've killed like hundreds or thousands of vampires. Entire cities have fallen. Like, they mention Las Vegas by name. They mention the Chantry House for the Tremere has fallen. So the Premier Pyramid has completely fallen. And things are basically in disarray. And they mention factions like the Anarchs are now a huge problem. Because before, in the past, the Camarilla accepted the Anarchs, and it was just kind of a hush-hush rule, like, don't be a jerk and we'll let you in. But now there's a division between the Anarchs, the Camarilla, the Sabbat, and now the Thin-Blooded, which are vampires of the 13th generation and lower, are seen as a big problem. And now even a major power, because the Thin-Blooded, 14th generation or potentially lower, can walk out during the day, potentially, and not suffer massive damage. So they've changed a lot of things. Now, one of the cool things I do like about Vampire is the idea of the Second Inquisition. The problem is there's not a lot of info on it. You don't get, hey, the NSA, CIA, FBI, they know about you, but they don't tell you how much. They tell you the Vatican knows about you, but how much. They don't say there are vampire SWAT teams, although you could realistically draw that conclusion, though. So they also don't detail the Sabbat. They just say they're there, they're bad guys still, and they're there. That's a thing. Furthermore, there have been some changes to some of the clans. Like, they do change some of the clan weaknesses. Not sure how big of a fan I am of that mechanically, but we'll have to see how that plays out. I know, for example, the Tremere can't blood bond people anymore. So that's a pretty big change, all things considered. To talk about one of the mechanics I love, I love the idea of the Hunger Dice. And the Hunger Dice basically introduces the idea of the beast that drives all vampires. It's always there. And the beast can even influence how you succeed on a test or fail a test. Basically, when you do a test from your dice pools, one of the dice will be a different color. If that dice is a success or a failure, that's either a beastal failure or a beastal success. So, for example, you might win a fight in combat. You may accidentally rip the guy's face off. Or you fail a social test, and instead of being this seductive, suave vampire, you may say something vastly inappropriate or go to something much, much darker and deeper. Because, hey, this is the World of Darkness. We're not playing with kid gloves here. But overall, Vampire the 5th Edition, I like it, but I don't love it. It's got some neat ideas. I think it really puts... It does update the World of Darkness mechanically, and I like some of the changes that have been made. I especially like how there's a focus on the thin-blooded, but they seem, if I may say, overly complicated, if anything. But I like the idea of them. I like the idea of the second Inquisition, rather. I love the idea that you're a blank body. You're known. You're essentially a terrorist, as far as the world's concerned. But the government knows about you. But I want more data. I want to know more. And I'm not getting that here. And one other thing, and this really, frankly, pissed me off, is you can't play a vampire above a certain generation. In fact, generation is almost not really mentioned. It comes down to blood potency. You'll have to read the book to understand exactly what the hell I'm talking about. But you can't play a vampire above the 9th generation. And I know that's more for power gamers, because depending on when your vampire was embraced and your sire, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. But is this game worth playing? I'm going to say cautiously yes, but you're going to have to homebrew a lot of stuff until an official campaign comes out, until there's more splat books. Honestly, though, I may take some of the ideas from this and run a modified Vampire the Masquerade. So, overall, your mileage with this game may vary, but you're going to have to homebrew a lot of stuff. But overall, it's not bad. It's not great. Got some cool ideas. Just wish they were left in the oven a little bit longer. Need a new weapon in your battle against evil? Check out LibrisArcana.com for Canada's premier RPG dice subscription service for only $7.97 Canadian with free shipping. You can get a new complete set of role-playing dice from D4s to D20s delivered straight to your door. Dice themes are new each month and can be anything your mind can imagine and beyond. Visit LibrisArcana.com and subscribe for only $7.97 Canadian with free shipping and be prepared to open up new worlds of adventure.
News on the mark!
It's me. I'm bringing us back?
Yes. Happening?
Okay. Well, that was Vampire, I believe.
Yes.
Ooh, Vampire. Sneaky, sneaky. I didn't even hear it happening.
Ooh,
that's the masquerade aspect of everything.
Yes.
That's right. I used my discipline of obfuscate.
Now, I just have one thing to ask. Are there glittery Twilight vampires?
Technically, no. If you really
okay,
want
then buy the book.
There you go. It's black and white, just like that.
Yeah, there you go. Don't worry. It's more Anne Rice / Lost Boys than Stephanie Meyer. That's my review inside of a nutshell. But if you want to go back and listen to it again, you can just rewind a few seconds.
Nutshell.
It's just one button click away.
Exactly. So anyway, guys, we're going to talk about the week that was, is, and forever shall be in the history books. And we're going to start things off on a kind of a bad note this week, because unfortunately there was a shooting last week, a fatal shooting at a Madden tournament last weekend that killed two people, and one of the survivors named Jacob, and I don't know how to pronounce his last name, I'm just going to call him Jacob Mitch, is suing both the venue and the Madden publisher EA for negligence, according to court filings.
Now, people might be asking with this, why, when EA is already offering to the survivors of the shooting and the families
like $1 million?
Because this is spread amongst so many people. The person was shot twice. Mm-hmm. There could be $500,000 worth of medical bills over the next however many years for this person's life.
Mm-hmm.
So, not to mention the mental anguish and all that. It's hard to prove that in court, but they're suing because they're going to need the money. Like, they might not be able to work again. Like, what is the rest of your life's livelihood worth to you?
Yeah, it can be debilitating just with a simple injury or a gunshot.
And PTSD.
There isn't a safety, like there is disability, but it's not what it is in most other countries.
Like, so, according to this, Mitch, who was shot twice, is seeking damages from 8 defendants, including EA, the Jacksonville Landing Mall, and the pizza parlor, Chicago Pizza, where the tournament was actually taking place. So, the suit alleges the venue was not safe and that EA, and I quote, failed to provide a safe and secure environment for the participants among the complaints. Now, according to the attorney, James Young, who represents the personal injury firm Morgan & Morgan, like many of his friends, Jacob Mitz traveled to Jacksonville last weekend to do what he loved. He trusted that the event hosts and organizers and believed that he was walking into a safe space. That trust was shattered when shots rang out in an overcrowded, since shut down, non-permitted space. Combined with an alleged abject failure to provide adequate security, the result was tragic. We are bringing this lawsuit to hold those responsible accountable and to ensure that gamers like Jake are able to get together to pursue their passion without having to fear for their lives.
Now I'm going
to
say my piece quickly.
Okay.
With this, the couple issues I have is one, you don't want this to set a precedent that it's going to militarize
events
in that you've got to have security. Like, here's the thing. When you go to... I went to the WWE event.
Yeah.
And this is in Canada where things are a little more, like, not lax, but there isn't an expectation that people have guns.
Yeah, there's not
like, you might have a knife if you go on in somewhere. But when you walk in to the event, this was a house show, they still wave the wand over you and not a pat down, but they make sure you're not carrying anything. And that's for, you know, any sporting event. They're going to do that in anything that's not like a ballpark outside. If you're going to an indoor arena or any event like that, they're going to have some sort of security pat you down. Why did they not have that? It doesn't mean have an armed police officer standing there. It just means having a wand, like some sort of deterrent. So I'm afraid that this might take it beyond. Either they're not going to have these events as much, or they're going to militarize it to the point where it doesn't have a fun feel to the building anymore.
Well, as far as I understand, if you go to something like the COD World League or something like that, there are metal detectors, there's the wand, and they search your bags. However, you go to events like E3, and I know this was brought up several times by several PR reps on Twitter. People were just coming and going out of E3 with no bag searches or anything.
Whereas, I was going to say, Fan Expo, they pat you down?
They do. They do so check you. And events like PAX, which events or venues like that, rather, have their own security forces.
I was going to say,
they triple check
you. I'm wondering if it could be different from state to state as well.
Yes.
Whereas, I believe, pretty much up in Canada, you got fairly standard security precautions across the board for most things. But don't militarize this. You know, don't make it this way, but also it sounds like it was an overcrowded building. It sounds like it wasn't very well planned.
Well, it took place, from what I understand, at a mall and a pizza parlor. What can you really do in terms of security there? I mean, what's a pizza place?
Well, it's easy when you, it's a pizza parlor. If this is an official event, they should have rented the entire building. Mm-hmm. You rent the entire space, especially EA can afford that with Madden. And then you just have somebody at the door that metal detects you as you walk in. Because any time that there's a competition going on, you're going to have heightened emotions. People are taking extra caffeine. You don't know if there's any other stimulants they're on. Just to make sure that nobody stabs somebody else. It's the kind of thing. It's not, until the last few years, this was not something you could ever, you know, have predicted would happen. It never really did
happen. I'm actually surprised it didn't happen sooner.
And I mean, it's not a surprise. It's also in the States. Where
And Florida, which is a little bit, I'm not going to call them trigger happy because that's a broad generalization. But that state's known for having
something
terrible
in the air.
Happen.
It's just there's people congregate that there seems to be more mental health things that you see happen.
There's a lot more instability.
That's another thing too.
Florida man is kind of
a standard
in joke there.
It's
Florida man does this. Florida man eats face. That sort of thing. It's always Florida man.
There's something, whatever it's the climate, whatever it is. I don't know why it happens, but it does. And I mean, and we're not trying to beat dead horse where it's like, oh,
gun control,
it's not the gun control issue. One, it's not a, they always say, oh, it's not a gun control issue, it's a mental, it's a mental health issue and it's a gun control
issue.
Yeah,
it's both.
It's they're not taking care of their people properly.
Now, it's something, now I'm not going to mention the shooter's names, I'm just not going to give them that press. He had been seen multiple times for mental health issues, the police had been involved, and he still passed a gun buying check.
He didn't pass a check, he just picked up a gun because where he bought doesn't do background checks.
Okay, that like the state, then the you state, must have read something
the state,
than I did.
When I was reading it on, this was on CNN's web, their article for it, he bought from a state that doesn't require a psychiatric evaluation.
Oh, so he went across state lines.
There wasn't even a holding period.
Hmm.
He
oh,
just
wow.
bought weapons. So, and it happens. So
now, have you actually heard the incident? Because someone
yes.
had this up on Facebook.
I watched the news footage of it, the graphic footage. I did see pictures of him. This is someone, if you looked at him, even if you didn't know what he had done, if you looked at him, there's something off. Like you would notice that people might say, oh, he's just shy. No, there's a vacancy in the eyes. And it's something that you notice with people that have mental illness, that have...
That's a pretty broad generalization.
And I don't say mental illness. I mean, I'm not going to diagnose what he had. Somebody who was not quite with it. You've seen people in public where you get that feeling. You're like,
you just know something's wrong.
Something isn't quite right. He's not firing in all cylinders at once. Something's not quite right. Wild eyes is probably the best way to describe
okay.
it. And I don't mean to say, you know, mental illness. I mean, there's something wild about his look. And that, if you had a lineup of him and the other people that were playing, you'd go, if anybody was going to do something, you could point and go, it's probably that guy. And it's not a case of, oh, now that we know he did it, I see that and go, that, no. If you could have put him in a lineup beforehand. And
yeah.
Like, how do you profile people like that beforehand?
Well, the thing is, you don't want to profile. That's what I mean. I don't agree with profiling somebody, but it's not a surprise after seeing it.
Hmm.
You're like, how do you do it? Like, I mean, there's no mental health check you can do before doing a gaming tournament.
No, mental health doesn't necessarily have a physical appearance element to
it. You know what would have stopped it, though? Once the tournament's over and you're done with the tournament, you're asked to leave, and if they had control of the building. You don't have the tournament go on in a section of the pizza parlor. You rent the whole building, and you have one entrance. You have a security guard posted there. Oh, you're done. Oh, you forgot something in there? Okay, I just got to scan you again.
I don't think people should have to leave the tournament necessarily
yeah,
after
because
they've been
they
eliminated.
Could have
no. But once you leave, you don't come back. Just like a lockout, like when you're going to a bowling tournament overnight or something.
Yeah.
They do that where once you're out, you're out. Just like a concert venue or whatever, you don't get back in once you've been left out of the building. So if he went out to go home, you know, and pick up his guns, he comes back. You're like, oh, what are you back for? Oh, did you forget something in there? I'll go grab it for you. Or, okay, you can come in, but we have to scan you again.
Yeah.
And we'll that's probably what they're going to do. They're probably going to have to lock down these things and not make it look like a militaristic thing. Like, they're not going to have police posted. I'm just afraid they're going to go overboard.
My concern is the lawsuit that's been brought up is not just EA. It's the pizza parlor. It's the mall.
Yeah.
It's all these different places. Where does the liability really rest here? The pizza parlor and the mall have rented that
EA.
Space out to
it's,
EA
it's,
for
it's,
this tournament.
It's EA. The thing is, EA didn't rent enough of it, I don't think.
Yeah, so but like the concept behind the lawsuit is that the pizza parlor and the mall should be held equally liable,
no.
And I don't think I agree with that.
No, I don't agree with that at all either.
It's their space, but they're not currently responsible for it right there. They shouldn't have to front money for the security to happen if they're just, here is a bunch of space you can use.
I think what they are doing is similar to how a movie director will film extra scenes they know are going to get cut when they're getting raided. They're suing as many people as possible so that the judge has things he can strike away without dismissing the case.
Yeah.
Like, if you try to sue one person and the judge is like, no, try to sue eight people, you might get one.
It's the precedent that it could set.
Yeah.
All these issues were raising security. If he ends up getting a settlement from the mall, pizza parlor, any event you're going to hold in the entire country
yes.
is now going to have this precedent saying, okay, well,
or,
this
no,
mall
no,
you
be,
want to host a tournament,
country.
Now you're going to have to pay some
because
money for security.
They're very different. It'll be per state. It just means they're all likelihood they probably won't run another gaming tournament in Florida.
Yeah. Even if it's interstate, like, the laws will be different because it's not a statewide thing. There's a precedent they can reference in Florida,
yes,
saying that, okay, well, the mall is now liable for this because this happened over here in this case.
It could lead to something where they're like, we're only going to run events in states that have stricter gun control.
I wonder what this will happen, because I think of tournaments, once again, like the COD World League.
Overwatch League.
Overwatch, MLG, stuff like that. How is this going to affect
Evo? Like, what happens if you're playing...
Las Vegas?
Yeah.
Well, look what happened with the Las Vegas shooter.
What I'm saying. And I mean, they have some of the best security because of all the casinos.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say this one thing. Had Las Vegas still been run by the mob, it probably wouldn't have happened. Because
is bad for business.
Death is bad for business, and everybody knows what's going. When you saw anything about how the mob ran that place, they knew everything that came in and out of that city. So it probably wouldn't have happened. But
the cost of that is pretty well known. It's not great in general. But the mob was known to do helpful things for the right reasons for their own interests.
Exactly. They'll
help you, but it's because it benefits them, too.
It's Capone giving out turkeys every Thanksgiving sort of thing. But it's not to try to take away or lighten any of this up. We're going to want to keep an eye on what happens.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how this will all shake out.
I don't be surprised if they don't do Madden tournaments in general for a while because they won't want any press related to it.
Yeah, they're going to lay that low.
I didn't know they did.
I know COD World League, when it comes back in January or December of this year, as you said, it'll be militarized. It will not surprise me.
This won't hurt the Madden sales.
No.
But it may hurt their PR campaign. They may not want to push it as much.
Yeah, esports being such a growing thing, they're going to have to take a step back from that.
They may want to promote FIFA or something instead.
Yeah, focus on some of their other things.
Because, they'll advertise Madden coming out, but they won't want to advertise any competitions at all related to it. So they'll have to rely on...
I think they canceled the rest of the tournament season.
They did.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to rely on FIFA, and they're going to have to rely on NHL when that eventually launches, because... They do tournaments like that up here. I don't know if they do NHL ones in the States for it.
I know they do some NHL ones.
But they do a lot of FIFA. They're going to have a big focus on FIFA instead. Because it's the only other one they have that is that big for tournaments.
So, that's that. As always, we welcome your feedback. Feedback at thisweekingeek.net. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Or at thisweekingeek on Twitter.
And I apologize if I sounded like an asshole.
That's Alex. You've come to
explore. We're just used to it.
I wasn't insulting anybody with mental illness, but you know what I'm saying when I say crazy eyes.
Yeah.
It's just hard to get that point across without it coming across as a generalization or a stereotype.
Which is not what I wanted. It's just, when you see somebody with crazy eyes, you're like, you got crazy eye.
It's kind of you can tell that they aren't in the moment in front of you, that their mind is somewhere else.
They're looking through you or past you.
A 1,000-yard stare.
Yes. That's it. That's what I was looking for.
So moving on to our next news article, and this will be a little controversial in some respects.
Keep it lighthearted here on Twig.
But it's been one of those weeks where things have it's been a heavy news week.
Yes.
And this one struck me as something that I don't like the precedent that this could set should something happen.
Uh-oh.
So this week, U.S. President Donald Trump has accused Alphabet Inc.'s Google search engine of promoting negative news articles and hiding fair media coverage to him. He vowed to address the situation without providing evidence or giving details of the action he might take. Officials in the Trump administration have said they will look into regulating the online giant, but what could that look like? Trump said large social media companies should not be allowed to control, and I quote, what we can and cannot see. You look at Google, Facebook, Twitter, and other social media giants, and I made it clear that we as a country cannot tolerate political censorship, blacklisting, and rigged search results. We will not let large corporations silence conservative voices, noting that it can go the other way someday, too.
I'll have to be careful what I say, because I have a relative that works for Google. I will say this. The understanding that I have of their algorithms and engines is I have secondhand knowledge. I understand the basics of how it runs. They've implemented new AI, and they're always doing new AI with it. It doesn't have a bias. It is based on your Google account
and looks for search engine optimization work, right?
It's different. It grabs articles that it it can determine what political stance you lean to, and will show you articles. If you're not a political person, you won't see articles about it at all. If you're somebody who has clicked on a lot of negative Trump stories, you're going to get a lot more negative Trump stories. That's just how AI learning works. Mm-hmm. You can go against it by, like, if you start looking up a whole bunch of Fox News stories, you'll get more Fox News style stories.
So you get more Fox and Breitbart, etc.
And I know for a fact, like, I don't know how it works internally, but I do know for a fact that I have asked this before, it does not have a bias. It is completely neutral in what it pulls. And they've been very open and transparent about that. Trump is too dumb to understand or care about it. You can look it up online, and they actually have dev docs that they release publicly about not the code of how it works, but what it does and how it works logically.
Mm-hmm.
That's freely open to the public to see with their APIs and everything. And it is Google is very transparent about that. I can't say what Bing or anybody else does. I don't know that. But from knowing somebody very close that does work there and works in one of their divisions that does work on this sort of thing, I can say that that's a complete fallacy.
Yeah, like this, I mean, if the government, the U.S. government, were to be able to influence a company like this, that, as we talked about precedents in our last story, that's dangerous.
I can say
that's scary.
Because I think it's gone, like, I know they've gone public. They were talking about, remember, it was in the news about them making a search engine for China?
Yeah, China.
That, I believe, has fallen through. There was a lot of internal debate that they did post publicly afterwards, that they didn't want anything that could be censored, and they didn't want a bias, so they didn't even go forward with it. There's a lot of money in getting into the Chinese market, but it's not something you want. If you want to remain neutral, you can't involve China in having a custom engine that only works with what they want.
Mm-hmm.
It's either all or nothing, and that's the approach they've been taking. Now, does that mean that Google and all these high-tech companies are purposefully liberal? No. And does it mean they're only hiring liberal stances? No. It just so happens that the vast majority of people in the high-tech field that have this level of intelligence, like, we're talking the super technically literate, high-end, top 2% of graduating classes, almost always are uber-liberal. It's just a byproduct, it seems, of the field you're getting into, the education you get, the type of person that thinks that way.
The environment.
They're not hiring like-minded people on purpose. It just happens.
There is a study, and I don't have it with me, unfortunately, but they prove that on average, people with higher levels of education tended to have more liberal stances politically and economically.
The argument is, it's the university drilling it into you. No. What a university drills into you is open thought. Here are all of your options. Yeah. What do you choose?
Critical thinking, problem solving, and actual knowledge of history, and economics, and all of these systems that exist in reality.
And the thing is, the liberals made the company policy that you can only do this, or you have to do this, or the pronouns, this. No, it's a culture created by the people that already work there. It doesn't trickle down from the top. Nobody at Google at top said, these are the rules we're following. It's all done by the culture of the workplace. We already had 10,000 people that thought this way, so that's the rules. That's how they work. So Trump would never sit down and think about that. He just sees bad news because he's probably been searching about himself, and that's what's popping up.
Yep. Most of the news about Trump is negative because people generally don't like Trump. The vast majority of people dislike Trump, 60% of Americans.
Can you think of anybody in the world that's not in America that likes him?
I know
other than people in Russia?
Yeah, but I mean, can you think of
nobody in the European Union likes him. Nobody. Even in countries in Europe that have, like England, that have gone more conservative and more right-wing with, you know, Brexit and all, they still don't like him. So it's the world as a whole, and Google covers the world. The world doesn't like him, mm-hmm. so he thinks there's a bias against him. No, he just can't fathom that people wouldn't like him. That's how much of a narcissist he is.
And it goes again, there's freedom of speech and that sort of thing really gets thrown around a lot, and it's too lightly taken by many people. They think, because you don't like what I have to say, you're infringing on my right and my freedom of speech. And that's not what it is. Freedom of speech is about freedom to say what you want without fearing consequences from the government. And now that's exactly what Trump is trying to do. He's trying to censor these search results. He's trying to make sure that you can't say fake things, bad things about me because I'm this person that way. That you as the government, you as the head of the government are now trying to actively suppress information, that freedom of speech, freedom of knowledge.
There's all these memes popping up. You know, it's like people comparing him to Hitler, and the argument back is Hitler killed 40 million people, and he's no. People aren't realizing the people on the left and left-leaning people that are saying he's like Hitler are not saying he's like Hitler in 1945. He's like Hitler in 1930, before he rose to power, or just as he got into power.
Before he had a military behind him.
See, people are afraid. They've seen this pattern happen before, and what happens is you slowly lose your powers and freedoms one by one. And this started with the Patriot Act. You slowly lose it over the course of 10 years. And surprise, surprise, now 20 million people die over the next two or three years. And you're like, how did we get here?
You reach critical mass without noticing. This is how it happens.
This is how it's always happened for hundreds of years when you have somebody take over. The difference is we're seeing it happen at the micro and macro level. We're seeing it happen by the second because of Twitter.
In real time.
So
it's happening faster than it has in previous times, but because we can see that at that scale, it seems like, well, you can't compare.
Yeah, and then you get people that are conspiracy nuts that are like Q, this conspiracy person that's going to uncover all the people that are out to get Trump, and Trump is really there to save everybody with Jesus and all this. You get the crackpots out there that believe when somebody makes up a random thing on the internet as a joke, they'll make up a manifesto. It will now spiral and roll, and you get people that want to believe so much that they believe any conspiracy theory out there. So the problem is sifting through information, trying to discern what's real and what's fake, and that is part of what Hitler did. He discredited the news media and discredited the old establishment, killed you can't really kill people off now with Twitter, like, and people being able to see everything on camera. He can't just go in and kill the military and start over with his own military. So how do you take over? Financially. And then right, and with the rights, taking away rights, changing how they work. This is what it is. It's, and am I saying he's Hitler, or people saying he's Hitler? No, he's too dumb to be Hitler. It's the people controlling his interests. That's the thing. Trump is so unaware and dumb that he doesn't know he's being controlled.
He's a puppet from so many angles that he's just being used.
Yeah.
To further certain agendas.
He will be, like, if he does end up getting impeached, he'll be the fall guy, and they'll just move another guy in place.
We did it, everyone. We got Trump gone, but the point is that everything, his so-called legacy will still be there. The people who are controlling him will still be there. So how do you fix that? Like,
we're not, and anybody that would be listening that may be, you know, a Trump supporter, in quotes, we're not attacking the people that voted for him, and we're not even saying you're wrong, you're right to vote for whatever you want to vote for. It's don't be blind to something because you feel like you can't be wrong.
Cherry pick what you voted for somebody for.
You might have made a mistake. If you voted for him and it turns out to be a mistake, or you're allowed to change your mind, you're allowed to hear other opinions,
you're allowed to grow.
Don't double down because you're angry about whatever reason. And that's what people are doing, is like they're following blindly because they're too afraid to admit they made a mistake in a lot of cases. And then there are people that voted that way because it's their prerogative. And
well, I've always voted Republican, so I had to vote Republican.
And then sadly, you have people that aren't just uneducated voters, like as far as politically.
They catch on to one catchphrase, make America great again, and that's their entire voting strategy. That's why they're voting for him.
Part of a true democracy is anybody over the age of 18 that's not considered to be like a ward of the state, like having cognitive problems, you're allowed to vote. Doesn't mean, so somebody who has an IQ just above a level that would be considered cognitively impaired can vote, regardless of if they have a fifth grade education or anything. You don't even have to know how to write your name. You just have to write an X and check off a name. So it's a byproduct of, if you're not educated and you're told to only like a certain thing, you won't go outside of your comfort zone and even learn anything else. You're just like, I want to vote for him because he's a white guy that says he's going to keep my dad's job. You can vote that. You don't have to have any other reason. So you sort of, America got what they got because they, that's what they chose.
I mean, at the end of the day, what we try to be as center as we can.
Yeah, like,
not extreme left, not extreme right. We want you, if anything, my manifesto as a journalist has always been be informed.
Yeah, and
make up your own mind.
And you can be something like, personally, I would socially lean left, and I would financially lean centrist-ish. I do believe in having things like public schools, free free healthcare. I believe in a safety net for those that can't work or are having trouble finding work. There should be training programs. There should be things like that. I don't believe in cutting somebody off for that. I don't believe in corporate tax breaks. But at the same time, I do believe that certain issues are debatable. I think that you're not all cut and dry one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Individually, like if you brought up individual bills and individual laws that are coming into place, you might be surprised. I might vote conservative on it, on a specific issue. But I think people are forgetting that they think that when they vote one way, it means for everything.
No, you can very much go one way or the other. Basically, ultimately, folks, be smart. Be yes. informed. Vote whoever you think will represent your interests the best. And if that is Trump, then I will fight for your right to do that because I believe information is power.
Yes, and also, don't just get your news if you're
from
afraid...
From one source.
Not just one source. If you're afraid that, oh, the American... The news media is out to get them, you know what you do? Look up BBC News. Look up CBC. Al Jazeera, which is fairly neutral. Look up what other countries of different viewpoints are saying about the same news. You know, like, Trump says this. Look up that article on every other... On, like, let's say four or five news sites. Find an aggregator that gets them from independent sources around the world. You'll see different viewpoints, and you'll be able to then get a better picture. So, because if you don't trust your own media, at least you can trust somebody else. It can't be the entire world media conspiracy is against him.
Yeah, because no amount of news editors are going to be on the same page.
So look up what people around the world are saying. That's what I do. When I see a news article, even for locally, if I see CBC Canada News, which is a government-funded institution, I also look at the private ones, and then I look at... BBC is pretty neutral on almost everything, even though whatever political things they have going on, what they report about the rest of the world is pretty straightforward.
So there are reliable news sources out there. You just need to vary your viewpoint.
Twitter is not a reliable source.
No. Do not go Reddit is not a reliable source.
Reddit is where you find the article and then you do the research afterwards.
Exactly. You find your sources. You find where they got their sources. You can trace information back a pretty long way. In school, it's pretty famous. You don't use Wikipedia to do your research. But
Wikipedia is a source to start.
Has their sources in there. Use those sources. Do your research. Understand the topic before you make a final decision.
Exactly. Be smart. Be informed. Do your research. And whatever decision you come to, that is your right. And that's what we're saying.
Absolutely. Anyway, absolutely.
So anyway, guys, we're going to throw things over to the weird news, hopefully a lot lighter in topic. So we'll be back right here on Twig, the flagship of stupidity.
What makes you qualified to be a reporter?
I'm willing to violate anyone's privacy for my personal gain and then claim with a straight face that the public has a right to know.
By the hand of Zeus, what manner of deviltry is this?
I love fake alien poop day.
And now it is time for the weird, the wacky, the just plain fucked up. There's always something strange happening in the neighborhood. We don't call Ghostbusters, we just talk about it.
Yeah, you call us for some bizarre and strange reason we can't fathom just yet. So yes, as Tristan said, we are here on Twig's Weird News. What are we going to talk about this week? Well, if you're in Canada, more specifically local to southwestern Ontario, I think this news has actually spread virally since then. Alex found this story this week.
Yeah, I don't know why I was looking up this. It popped up in
my
feed.
Oh, I know why.
It popped up. It might have been part
of
Gang
Fest. Use
your imagination. The best event of the year, Gang Fest. But it was a brothel opened up in Toronto. Now, it's not what you think. It was a real doll, sex doll brothel. And I think it showed up on a bunch of feeds on Facebook. It was on Global News. Well, basically think of, it's a whorehouse, just where you pick from a list of real doll girls.
It's a whorehouse.
It's what it is. Now, you paid by like 20 minutes, half hour. There's packages, and it's like 20, 60, 80, 100 bucks, whatever it costs for You could pay for multiple girls, which is funny because it's basically the same thing. But anyway, it hit the news because it technically isn't illegal. Because for one, for anybody that doesn't know, or anybody especially listening in the States, prostitution is not illegal in Canada and Ontario specifically. It is illegal to advertise.
Solicitation.
Yes. The actual act of paying somebody. So that's why when you get an escort, you're paying for their time to hang out and all that.
You're paying for their company.
And if you talk to them in person and then be like, how much is it to have sex with you? She can say that or he can say that to you. It's just you can't print, you can't advertise on like a business card or in the phone book. Here's what it costs to you know, blow a load in me.
You are unusually well educated on this topic.
Because I read about it when I was reading this.
So eloquent.
No, I watched, there was a documentary on TV years ago about how it wasn't illegal. Just like how toplessness is fully legal across Ontario.
Thanks to Guelph.
And to the point where people were getting arrested for it and then finding out that the charges wouldn't stick because it was not illegal. So because it's not illegal, they weren't advertising real people. They were advertising come and have sex with a doll, which turns out isn't against the city bylaw, and it's not against the law, either federally or provincially.
You're basically advertising sex
toys. The communal
toys.
Fleshlight.
Yeah, you're basically advertising have sex with a fleshlight. That's essentially it. And it turns out it's not illegal. So, funny story, this place had been open for over a year. And it just hit the news for whatever reason that they were going to start advertising it. It was sort of a, you know, word of mouth place. No, like there wasn't a lot of advertising for it, what it was. It was just sort of, I think it was talked about in circles, and they were doing, it was a cold open, I guess, over the course of a year.
Or a soft
so
opening.
They, I know. So they opened up, and then within a couple days that it hit the news and it went viral, the city shut them down. They revoked their license. Technically, they can do that. They can just revoke your license to operate whenever they want. The landlord did. They can do that for whatever reason they want, as long as it's not like against the human rights. It's not a human rights violation. It's not like, hey, we found out there's gay people owning a store. We're going to shut them down. So they can't do that. But if the landlord chooses that, they say, hey, what your establishment is against the image I want for my building.
Yeah.
They can do that.
Potentially harmful to the property value, that sort of thing.
That sort of thing. They can get away with that. So that's how they shut them down. But what's funny is the articles are saying it shut down before it even opened. No, it had been open for a year. And it wasn't an issue until it hit the news. So whoever at Global or whatever, fuck you.
So you ruined it for people.
So,
like,
but, are they going to have a liquidation sale?
But what it does show, probably.
Aw, ew.
What it's going to show now, though, is they might just reopen somewhere else because it turns out it's not illegal. So... that's, and here's the thing, that's one step towards legalization in general, because when...
because sex work should be legal, if it really was, should.
Because you see anything that happens in Nevada, when they show off, there's been TV shows about those houses, like basically the brothels that are there.
The ranches.
And the interesting thing is, there you're less likely to have any drug-related issues, you're less likely to have... and any STDs involved.
Violence.
It's like the porn industry. It's very well regulated where it is. And that, and think about it, that's the States, which generally doesn't regulate as much as we do.
But they saw money to be made out of that. So that was the
Exactly. But
motivator.
I mean, we've got, you know, think about it. We're sort of ahead of the curve on a lot of things. Gay marriage was like 10 years before it was in the States. As a provincial and then nationwide.
Mm-hmm. Cannabis legalization is this year.
Yeah, cannabis. And to the point where even the conservative government that just came in reversed, we're like, oh God, are they going to cancel it? No, they reversed it from being a government business that was going to sell the marijuana to privatizing it so anybody can buy it from anywhere. Second Cup Coffee, which is the second or third biggest chain of coffee stores in Ontario, is going to be weed stores. They're going to sell coffee and weed.
Beat that, Tim Hortons.
Yeah,
so
Timmy, Starbucks.
Whereas Timmy's, I guarantee you won't do it.
Because no, they have an image.
But Second Cup has been wanting to become more boutique. Then they want to be a little more Starbucks.
They've always had a bit of a almost Starbucks feel
to them. It was basically Tim Hortons prices, but with Starbucks
quality
like, image.
Yeah, motif.
So we've got that. So the next logical step will be sex workers. Honestly, like, and if this is it would be a step in the right direction to have this. Here's the thing. Having it as a business established in your town doesn't mean you have to use it. I have never been to the strip club in town. I've gone by there many times. I have not been compelled to. I have nothing against it. It's just never been something I've gone and wanted to do. Would I ever go to this real doll brothel? No, I wouldn't. But then again, maybe I would. The idea is it should be available to you. There's nothing wrong with it.
It's not harmful to anyone, really. There's arguments against. It's the same arguments as pornography. It's objectification. But they're not living people. They're not sentient beings. They're just.
They're not like that bionic sex robot we talked about a long time ago.
They are fancified flashlights, essentially.
Well, and it doesn't. Here's the thing. It's like, oh, it stops people from, you know, making real relationships. You know what? Some people, not all, but there's going to be people that would use that service that maybe don't feel comfortable and maybe wouldn't be able to have or hold a relationship. This may be a stepping stone to them coming out of their shell and being able to have a healthy relationship with somebody for real. It's just, I got to get my rocks off today. Like, it's just, I got to do something. The ability to be there doesn't mean you have to use it, doesn't mean you have to condone it. But I hate that people are trying to restrict things nowadays when you should be able to do what you want. You're not hurting anybody.
Yeah, if it's harmless, then it should be generally okay. And you shouldn't be bothered by something that someone else is doing if it's not hurting someone.
And if it's like, oh, I'd be ashamed to go there, then you don't have to go.
Yeah, just don't.
That's my two cents on it.
It's been a heavy week for news. Really has, because it's a lot of rights issues this week. So me and Tristan are going to transition into something a little bit more science-y, up
little
in the sky.
This world, just to be, you know, lame.
My only issue with the real dolls, you notice that, though? There's no big girls. That's a lot more silicone, though.
That's just efficiency of
But I was going to say, that's one thing. There isn't a whole lot of variety. Yeah, they showed some of the girls on the videos. They're all fairly standard. There's like a petite version, or there's like a taller version. But there's not really... They're not catering to all types yet, and I think that's because, again, it's not as widely accepted.
Yeah, it's such a taboo.
Having these brothels would mean that business would grow, get better, and have more varieties of things.
You'd be able to develop a demand for certain products.
Interesting that you might want to know. One last thing about it, because I forgot. They did say they had recently, in the last few weeks, been getting a lot of inquiries on getting male versions. And they were openly said that it was not for gay... clientele, women were asking them for male dolls. And that was something that they as a business didn't think of initially. They didn't think that was a market that would want it. Mm-hmm. So it's showing that there is more widespread acceptance on both grounds. It's not the, I'm saying in quotes, the pervy dude that lives in the basement that wants to go and use the doll. It's a lot of people that are willing to use it.
Yeah, as my, there's a friend of the show and he says, there's no need to ever kink shame, so...
Exactly. So it shows that there is a market for all types of people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So okay. Now, throwing things up to above the stratosphere, we're going to go with Tristan's story first.
And there's no sex dolls involved whatsoever.
Does involve things getting plugged.
With fingers. Geez.
Ooh. Why would you ever finger a real doll? What a waste.
Yeah, that's gross. The International Space Station, which has been going on for quite some time, it's been pretty much my entire life.
Yep.
There's been news about the ISS, adding modules, changing this, repairing that. They had a bit of a what you would imagine would be a panic-inducing crisis this week, but turned out to be kind of a no big deal, but they still got to work on it. A small leak was detected in the air supply to the ISS. And it was so slow that they decided to let the astronauts that were sleeping at the time finish sleeping. When they woke up, they informed them, hey, there's a hole somewhere in the space station. You guys got to go find it. Eventually, they did find it. It was about 2 millimeters wide. And it was in the orbital section of the Soyuz spacecraft MS-09. They don't know what caused it exactly. But they had to figure out how to fix it. The leak wasn't going to cause any sort of massive
decompression.
No one was going to die. They should have about 18 days worth of air, they said at that point, if it was left unplugged. So while they tried to figure out, kind of an Apollo 13, the movie style, where they figure out, okay, we have tape, we have this, how are we going to fix this? In the meantime, one of the astronauts just put his finger over the hole. And while obviously not a permanent solution, it was enough to basically stop the leak in the meantime until they came up with the idea of using epoxy and captain tape, which is a special kind of tape used in spacecraft and fixing things up in space to just seal.
So their version of Gorilla Tape.
They used Gorilla Glue and duct tape.
Yeah, so tape and gauze and just regular stuff.
I was hoping you were going to say gum, but I don't think they're allowed to have gum.
You could probably screw up the instruments.
I don't know, maybe. But you
think
as long as it's something that doesn't crumble, I think they're allowed to have it.
Yeah, I was going to say, they might, because that would have worked, that and a piece of tape would have worked as a temporary fix.
So
yeah.
You couldn't bring a bag of potato chips up like in the Simpsons episode.
No. Exactly. Watch out, they're ruffled.
There's that, and I think they're limited on the certain types of liquids they can use.
Yeah, there's all sorts of restrictions.
Because you don't want like hot sauce, and then you got like swamp shit ass spraying everywhere.
I wonder if there ever has been diarrhea in space.
Piece of flying diarrhea corn in the air.
Oh,
they have so many systems in place already. They're well prepared up there.
Yeah, because I imagine the flight doctor probably has to... that's an interesting question. What's the nutrition like? Like, do they have like a flight nutritionist?
As far as I know, they pretty much have scheduled meals. Everything's kind of portioned out. They know exactly what they need just to make sure they hit nutritional
calories,
requirements and everything. But as for the whole, the current theory is it was a micrometeorite, which is kind of what
I'm
you kind of go to.
This doesn't happen more often.
Yeah, considering how much stuff is actually in space, you might think of space as vast, open nothingness, but
so basically,
like
a grain of sand went through it.
Yeah.
Just this little tiny 2 millimeter wide hole made by even something even smaller traveling really, really fast. Thankfully,
even
only punctured one side, which makes you think, you know, how did it not break through twice?
Like, it always makes me wonder, like, if I was an astronaut, one of my great fears is be when you're doing EVA, extra vehicular activity.
Or spacewalk,
spacewalk.
To be colloquial.
Why doesn't anything pierce their visors?
Could you imagine the
very
size
strong.
Of the suit you'd have to wear?
Ours? Yeah, ours would be gigantic.
Yeah, like
ours would be like space trooper armor from Star Wars.
I'm just thinking, like, you could, like, float around like a jellyfish.
That'd be kind of cool. I would love to be weightless.
Big Hero
I think that'd be
6,
so much fun.
I'm picturing the robot from Big Hero 6 here.
Baymax.
That would basically be...
Fuzzy baby. That's how I talk to my cats, anyway. So moving on to our next story. This one, I found this tremendously interesting. So one of the biggest planet in our solar system is Jupiter.
Uranus.
Jupiter, sitting in the outer belt of the solar system. They've discovered water clouds inside Jupiter's Great Red Megastorm, and there's potential hope that life could exist there. It also kind of shed some new light on how the planet could have formed. This story comes courtesy of the Daily Mail, and I'm going to read some of the highlights. So water is a lot more common on Jupiter than you might think. Findings imply that Jupiter may have 2 to 9 times more oxygen than the Sun and has abundant water. NASA has previously said that the atmosphere may hold some form of exotic life, which is entirely possible because it could be like airborne algae or some kind of single-celled organism that could be surviving floating upon air currents.
Yeah, I would say it's very difficult, and the life that you could potentially find in an environment on Jupiter
won't be like anything we've ever seen.
Indescribable, not even conceivable, really.
Weird.
It would have to be very, very small.
Yeah.
Microbes. Because of the size of Jupiter, gravity is massive. It is way stronger
and
than
radiation.
It is on Earth. Because of all that gravity, anytime you get larger, your structures, your bone structures, any sort of skeleton will fail much easier.
Yep.
So an elephant here on Earth would just be completely crushed.
Oh, yeah.
A person would likely be crushed.
Oh, yeah.
And
they're
be
dead.
Excruciating pain. But a very small organism could survive that gravitational pull because they have enough structure, enough resistance
or
in that structure to survive that gravity on
something
them.
That doesn't have bones.
Like
a
jellyfish.
It's a square cube law. The bigger you are as a surface area, the more volume you have. As you increase the square footage of your size, your volume gets cubed, so it becomes heavier and heavier and heavier, so your surface area can't handle that much weight.
Do you remember when they brought the anglerfish up the first time they went on the Marianas Trench?
Was that the thing that has the light on its head?
Yes. It fell apart. It was...
Really?
It was held together by the pressure.
Oh, that's cool.
So when the pressure decreased, the second time they brought it up, they had to have it in a pressurized container. Because as they brought it up, it literally fell apart. because it was designed to only survive under that so much pressure.
Its internal systems were exerting an outward pressure, and all of a sudden there's not an inward pressure to balance it out. And
so there could be creatures like that that exist because of the pressure.
It's a combination of pressure and gravity. The pressure increases as you get closer, but the gravity is really strong no matter what. And stronger as you get closer to the core, of course. But I would imagine most of the life would exist very close to the surface, so the pressure is kind of a...
You'd be more likely to find things like amiibos reasonable. And...
Like things that float on the wind. Amiibos.
I was waiting
brought
for you to
you
catch
from
that.
Nintendo.
You're like a little amiibos.
Good old Nintendo Jupiter.
But yeah, I mean, it's fascinating to find out that life could exist in our solar system. No matter how we find it, it's going to be weird. It's going to be like any... It's going to be unlike anything we've ever seen before. They think there could be life on Titan, on Ganymede, on Europa.
Exactly.
So we're more likely to find life in our galaxy, in our solar system, than we are somewhere else anyway.
The technology just isn't
because
there.
We
can't get there.
We also know there is life here. So
life exists. That is the only thing
life
that
exists
we know for
in
sure.
this solar system. So we're more likely to find something else in this solar system.
It always baffles me when people say we're the only thing out there.
How could we possibly be the only
thing?
My favorite is the meme, the flat Earth meme, where it shows the solar system, and it's like all the planets are these orbs because it's what you can see, and then Earth is just this flat thing.
Just because.
Yeah. Because, you know, reasons.
We're surrounded and orbited by the moon, which is clearly
because,
spherical.
Because NBA stars that only got into college because of their skills as an NBA player, or sort of skills as an athlete, said, well, when I fly in a plane, I don't see it. Really?
You kind of do.
It's kind of a... Yeah.
There's
a
curve.
It's an optical illusion. Really? Really? Because, like, you would fall off the fucking planet. You've gone to Australia, right?
You can see the curvature of the Earth from the CN Tower.
Yeah.
It's like, not hard.
Well, it's an optical illusion.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
And, you know, I've heard weirder conspiracy ones, how there's mirrors in space and everything to redirect the sunlight. I've heard weird ones.
Of course.
But anyway, so that's the kind of weird news we've had for you this week. So we'll be back right here on Twig with a new edition of Satan's Pantry. What's going to happen here? Even I don't know, because I haven't edited it yet. So have something special as we exit the show this week. So here is our Satan's Pantry, and then after that, we'll have Alex's extended look at Paizo Starfinder. We'll be back right here on Twig, the flagship of stupidity.
Welcome to hell.
You wouldn't even serve it to a pig! It's inedible!
Welcome back to Satan's Pantry, where we decide to go down the devil's grocery aisle and find what is gross, disgusting, but occasionally tasty here on the show. And this week, or for the next couple of weeks, Alex has taken us down the international aisle. We actually went to a local Chinese grocery store.
Yes.
And got, some... God, I hope this isn't gross.
It's mostly Chinese, but then it has stuff from other Southeast Asian. Even there's some African stuff there randomly, too. But for the most part, it's Southeast Asia.
Yeah, I'm seeing Korean Cheetos somewhere in the mix.
I got a pile of stuff.
All right, so what are we doing this week, bud?
We are doing... Hokkaido cream pastry roll. A soft and pleasantly sweet bread, each baked with the natural goodness of brown rice yeast. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Brown rice yeast.
I'm going to assume it's Japanese because Hokkaido, product of Japan, imported by Wismatac Asian Foods Incorporated in BC.
Okay.
And it's funny, it has the calories on the back, but they're different. Like, there's a sticker they threw on for English, and the original says the container is 270 calories, but then the North American one says it's 280. So is ours right and theirs wrong?
Might be a serving thing. Maybe?
No, it's the serving size.
Is
the whole thing
the same?
So it's not like it's a our metric is different than their metric.
It might be the way that we need to represent calories in a certain way. I don't know. The restrictions.
Could be like a food and drug thing.
Yeah, because there is some differences between them. It's fat. They have total fat as 12 grams. Ours says 11. Whatever.
Oh, well.
Let's open this sucker up.
Right, not really the point here. We want to know what it tastes like.
It smells like a normal, like a donut bun, like a normal pastry bun. So I figure, hey, there's something on the bottom. Oh, it's a thing.
It's silica gel?
Yeah.
Do not eat that.
That's a good sign.
Not filling.
I'm going to Oh, wait a minute.
Is there something in the middle?
No. Apparently not.
Oh, it's not.
So
a
I tore a piece. I'm going to pass it around.
Okay, I will tear a piece as well. Oh, that's more than I wanted. That's more than I wanted.
It smells just like normal bread.
Yeah, okay. It smells bready.
Yep. Whoa, it falls apart on you.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty...
pretty soft.
I thought it says cream, so I was assuming it had cream on the inside.
It smells like...
It's got a sweetness to it
on
the smell.
Oh, man, this is fucking delicious.
You know what?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I want, like, jelly on this.
You know when you go to, like, a grocery store here, and they sometimes have the $1.50, it'll be like a... Like this, it'll be a roll, but it'll be coconut cream or something. I think it's not Freshco that carries them. Maybe Freshco, Zayers, places like that, and they have them down in the bread aisle, usually with like the crap, like the ding dongs and the ho hos and all that sort of junk. They usually have individual ones that are like this for like $1.50, but this was about the same price.
One of the cats seems to enjoy it
thoroughly. Oh, good.
Dr. Wily likes the bread.
See, I thought this was going to be a cream donut.
Nope.
Oh, my God.
Apparently not.
That
it's actually really,
it looks like they
really
use that
good.
Cream,
it
and then
like
they
angel fruitcake things you buy.
Yeah,
yes.
Angel fruitcake. Angel fruitcake.
It's fluffy,
fruit cake,
lighter. Here, do you want to hear the ingredients?
Sure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It says here, ingredients, wheat flour, flour paste, blah, blah, cornstarch, skim milk powder, milk protein,
it's so fluffy.
Whole egg, whey powder, margarine,
soybean
oil.
It's really light. It's sweet but not overpowering.
It doesn't say that it has any...
Like, this would be delicious with breakfast.
It doesn't say pastry or baked wheat cake. So it must be that they use a tiny bit of that cream in the actual dough.
How much is this?
About $1.20, I think.
Blair, you're going to get some more of these. Because holy Christ.
They have other flavors. I saw that it was a type of cream that I'd never seen before. And I did see ones that were cream filled.
Oh, man.
So they have other ones. I'll keep the label here so you know what to find. But that's not bad. As a snackety-do, 280 calories is not bad. Because I think it's 400 for like a Tim Hortons donut.
Yeah, I like to have a fairly regimented lunch when I go to my job. And I have a... muffin that I have different varieties, of course, just to keep it, you know, spicy and fresh, but on average they have about 350 calories for one full muffin, so 280 for that. The portion size was even bigger than what I would have with that muffin, so I'd say it's pretty right on the mark for a sweet treat.
And for anybody concerned about like carbohydrates,
what were the carbs?
It's 39 carbs, which is less than what you'd get in a donut, like a normal donut. 1 gram of fiber, so...
It's by no means someone who's on a diet necessarily, but someone who's trying to count stuff, it's not...
Yeah, so 38 net carbs. If you're a diabetic, you need to take a few units of insulin for this or prepare for it. But, interestingly, 7 grams of protein.
Huh.
So
That is interesting.
That would be from the skim milk powder and other stuff. You would not get that in a normal donut.
No.
So at 10 grams is considered like enough for a good snack. Like if you were having like... I don't know, like a piece of cheese or a yogurt. That's not bad.
So I guess our verdict is tasty, without a doubt.
Goddamn delicious.
I gotta say that's probably the best thing I've tasted here on Satan's Pantry, without a doubt.
You like your bread, son?
I love it. All right, guys. So we'll throw things back to the show. What we're reviewing or talking about? I don't know, but we'll be back right after this.
You're a first-class cunt.
A while back, I received a package from Paizo, publishers of Starfinder and Pathfinder, with a package of Starfinder rulebooks. As we are doing more and more RPG gaming, tabletop stuff with Twig, Cambridge Chronicles, Terrible Warriors, it was something that I really wanted to dig into. Now, I received a core rulebook for Starfinder, a Pact Worlds book. These are all hardcover. As well as the Alien Archive and the first book in the Dead Sons Adventure Path. Now, that Dead Sons Adventure Path we're going to get into a little later, in that I believe we're actually going to be playing this through, as intended, through the book, as an actual play with Cambridge Chronicles in the fall. So, we're not going to review that one just yet, because we're actually going to play that one. I figure that's a good way to... incorporate everything that we've learned from the rest of the core rule books and see how it plays. And now it's one of six, so it's just sort of going to give us an idea of starting out, you know, as a first level adventurers, you know, the first 4 or 5 hours, what's it going to be like playing? Now, I'm not going to go into too much detail on the core rulebook, because if you've played Pathfinder before, it's similar in that this is a logical progression and evolution of that system, and then of course set in space versus set in a high fantasy sort of setting. Now, you get over 500 pages of rules and lore and just sort of everything that you need to get started. It even has, like, the first couple pages are just, like, what is an RPG? What is a game master? You know, what is... You know, what are dice? what do you do from scratch? And that's very helpful. This could be used as your first RPG. Now, it is a lot more rules-heavy and role-heavy, as there's taken into account tactics. You get to control ships and move them around on a space. So you're going to want graph paper or the miniatures for some aspects. You don't have to use every rule. Like, we play pretty fast and loose at Twig. And it's all about the story and the experience for us. It's not about necessarily getting into the minutia. So it's not a super crazy, heavy, bogged down system. It's sort of what your standard D&D would be if you played by all the rules and it had a little more advanced movement aspects to it. There's details in here about all your races, your classes, some of the planets, but everything gets fleshed out more in the additional rule books. So it is a pretty solid, straightforward, fairly meaty core rulebook that you can pick up for about $60 American, and it has beautiful artwork in it. The pages are crisp and easy to read. The paper's not too thin. I'm not afraid of tearing it or anything. It's something that looks nice on a shelf. It's definitely a great book, and it's something that I've wanted to actually dig into for quite some time, being that it's a high sci-fi, you know, spacefaring rulebook. So that's definitely pretty cool. But where I wanted to really get into were the additional core rulebooks that we received. There's the Pact Worlds book. With the Pact Worlds book, get a little over 100 pages or so. Actually, it's probably more than that. There's almost 200 pages, actually. It's deceptive because the pages are fairly thin.
Johnny got a toy golf set when he was 3, and from that day on, he was hooked. All he wanted to do was golf, golf, golf. He'd be on the links before school, after school. All he ever wanted was to go pro. And then, one day, when he was holding his grandson and thinking about his 12 handicap, Johnny realized it just might not happen for him. But you know what did happen for him? He switched to Geico and saved a bunch of money on car insurance. So that was good, and so was hanging out with his grandson. Johnny got a toy golf set when he was 3, and from that day on, he was hooked. All he wanted to do was golf, golf, golf. He'd be on the links before school, after school. All he ever wanted was to go pro. And then, one day, when he was holding his grandson and thinking about his 12 handicap, Johnny realized it just might not happen for him. But you know what did happen for him? He switched to Geico and saved a bunch of money on car insurance. So that was good, and so was hanging out with his grandson.